It is such an honor and pleasure to be, preaching again with all of you today. I will just kind of put out a disclaimer. My style of preaching is very different from Mickey. So Mickey is like this baller, like used to be a rapper, so good with words, so good at speaking kind of person. And for me, I feel like I'm a natural like facilitator. I run leadership trainings and workshops as my like full-time thing. And so that's the style that I really like leaning into when I preach. And so I'm not going to be speaking for very long today. Oh, Toby, can you get the, yes, I'm not going to be speaking for very long today, but we are going to get into like lots of interactive elements in a little bit. So, by the way, I'll also mention the content for this came to me in the middle of the night. Like I woke up like at 3 a.m. one day, and like all this stuff just came into my mind in the middle of the night. So that's when you know it's good and it's like from the Lord. So we are going to be actually talking about barriers to spiritual maturity today. Ooh, potentially intense and convicting topic, but I'm going to try to keep it as approachable and light today as possible. As you know, we've been in a series on Ephesians for the past couple weeks at our church. And so in the kickoff sermon, Mickey talked a lot about how like one of the major themes for Ephesians is spiritual maturity, right? So what does it look like as an individual and also as a church to really lean into that sense of spiritual maturity, right? And so even a lot of what I will be sharing today are just collections from, I feel like, my life and experience of things that I've noticed that are potentially barriers to that spiritual maturity that we have in Christ. So I'm going to start off with our scripture for today. I know that we're in Ephesians, but my scripture is actually going to be from Hebrews today. So deal with it. All right, so Hebrews chapter 5, verses 11 to 14. We have much to say about this, but it is hard to make it clear to you because you no longer try to understand. In fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness, but solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. And so, yes, a little bit of a convicting passage. But I wonder if like some of us kind of feel like, especially if we've been Christians or like going to church for a long time, like, man, why does it feel like I'm still in that same place where maybe spiritually I feel kind of stuck, right? Like I maybe do want to grow more in my relationship with God, but I just don't really see how that's happening right now. And so I feel like it's really getting at this idea of, and so next slide, of this idea between like the spiritual milk and like the solid food, right? And so I think we can probably understand analogy, but then practically speaking, what does that look like, right? I feel like maybe some of us do feel like, yes, I am totally at that place where I am needing spiritual milk, right? Like I don't necessarily feel like that maybe like mature or like developed in my faith. I want to grow. I want to learn more. I don't feel like I'm at that place where like I can eat the spiritual, whatever, solid food, right? But like sometimes I feel like in this practical day-to-day, all the stuff that's going on, we don't really know how to like approach that, right? So that's a lot of what I want to be talking about today is, yeah, again, like sometimes we have to maybe take note of, are there any of these barriers that are in place? And if so, what are those that are maybe inhibiting or preventing my spiritual growth from continuing to happen? So, I will be putting out a little framework today. Again, this is what came to me in the middle of the night. I was like, ooh, I think it's basically this set of stuff. And so you'll see. I made a whole infographic today. It's great. Canva helped a lot. But I think it's kind of things that I've noticed over time are basically like kind of the biggest barriers that we have to our spiritual lives. So I'm going to be going through this framework. Again, this is disclaimers, like my personal framework, just things I've noticed. This is not necessarily like deeply drawn from like theologically, I don't know, like based stuff. But this is just stuff I've noticed over time. So we're going to kind of go through this part by part, starting with the first one. So I feel like one of the things I have noticed is this idea of, yeah, like church hurt and trauma. I think a lot of us, depending on maybe how we grew up or different environments that we've been exposed to, like this is such a real thing. There are definitely some really abusive church environments out there. And basically what I want to say here is if this is where you're at, don't listen to anything else I say for the rest of this sermon. Because I feel like this is, for me, something I've noticed, like it's so real and like healing is so necessary. And I think a lot of times it's like, and a lot of like spiritual talk or whatever can actually feel like really triggering and harmful if some of these, you know, aspects from our past have not been really addressed or dealt with yet. And so I definitely don't want to come off today as like another like overbearing pseudo pastor, you know, trying to tell you what to do or like trying to tell you how to like be a better Christian or whatever. Like that is not my goal for today. But I know for like a lot of us who like are here in this place where we have experienced some of that church hurt and trauma, like that's maybe like sometimes how things do come across. And so, yeah, I just really encourage, I have so much compassion for everyone who's been in this place, even for myself, like growing up in a very conservative church environment. I think I've had my fair share of that as well. And sometimes we do need to take that space for ourselves to heal. I think there's a lot of really great resources out there. I highly encourage therapy. I've been going to therapy myself for the past year. It's been great. Or, you know, there's, you know, just like a lot of different ways that we can continue to experience that healing. And so just really encourage all of you who are in that place to, just continue in that. But for sure, I feel like that's kind of like this like foundational level thing. You know, like if we haven't actually worked through some of those like kind of past traumas from our lives, one of the other authors that I read refers to it as like the suitcase of our souls. If we haven't kind of unpacked some of like the dirty laundry from that suitcase, we actually can't repack like the clean clothes into that suitcase of our soul. So that's just like a little analogy that I've always liked using. But that's number one. Okay, so number two is our environment. And I think a lot of times, especially like living here in the Bay Area, like the yeah, we're pretty comfortable living here in the Bay Area. Sometimes it might not feel like it, like, oh my gosh, there's like so much I have to do. There's a lot of hustle and whatever. But like in the grand scheme of things, we live in a great city. Like it's a beautiful place. So much like just geographically amazing, lots of access to all sorts of great food and things. And it's just like, it's a great environment that we live in here. And so I think a lot of times when it comes to like spiritual maturity and growth, like that sort of environment can really dictate whether we continue to grow or not. Right. And so for me, like the most helpful analogy for me here is thinking about train tracks. So if you think about like trains and like the tracks that they're on, the tracks will dictate where that train goes. The train will never go anywhere the tracks are not set, you know? So in a lot of ways, I feel like our environments or like the things that we have built into our lives are like the tracks that we have set in our lives. And so if the tracks are set a certain way, like there will never be another outcome that happens if the tracks are set like that. Right. And so like if we're even thinking about like spiritual growth, spiritual outcomes, whatever, things like that, like we're not going to ever see something different if the tracks are not changing. Right. We're never going to go to a different destination than the tracks are going. And so I think that's something to really think about of like, OK, what are the tracks of my life? Where are they going? And are, you know, it's like that whole quote, like insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting like a different set of outcomes, right? Like they're never going to get a different set of outcomes. And so I think for me, thinking about this, it's like, okay, is there like a different set of environments that I can put myself in that start to change those tracks for me? right? And I'm not saying that this is going to be everyone, but for me, I have found it very helpful when I've, like, these past several years, like, going and being with our community in Kenya. Like, this is the group of people that I work with, and whenever I go, like, I always, it's like this, like, perspective shift of, like, whoa, like, this is what the work of God looks like in kind of like the grander scheme of things. And for me, that's like my personal context. I think that can look like a lot of different things for all of us here. But what is that equivalent for you of like putting yourself in a different environment of like, oh my gosh, I have a better view, a better perspective of who God is and like what his work looks like. And how do I regularly put myself in those kinds of environments where I'm seeing that or exposing myself to that, right? And I think sometimes when we don't have that, then, like, again, train tracks gonna go in the same direction, right? And so therefore, yeah, barrier to spiritual maturity. Like, we're never gonna actually, like, progress past that. Okay, so that's number two. Number three is busyness. Yes. So Dallas Willard, which is who's one of the great theologians of our time, has this quote that like busyness is the greatest enemy of our souls in this day that we have. And so, yeah, this is so true. I think especially, again, living in a city like San Francisco, living in our modern society, the hustle and the hurry is glorified so much. Right? Like constantly there is something for us to do. And that might not just be work, right? It's also like personal life. It's keeping up with friends. It's social events. It's all the things that we do to be like successful and or interesting and or productive people, right? And like the wheel never stops, right? And I think when we're in that place where busyness is so consuming of our lives, it actually, it's like we have very little time left to actually commune with God, right? And I think one of the greatest things that we can do for our spiritual growth is to actually spend time in the presence of God. It's like a relationship, you know, like if, you know, you were dating someone and you met and hit it off and it was super great, right? But then like in follow-up dates, like you keep pushing it off because you're like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. I have to do this work thing. Oh my God, I'm so sorry. I'm like doing this friend trip. Oh my God, I'm so sorry. Like I have to do XYZ things. And then you never schedule that follow-up date. Like guess what? Y'all are not going to be in a relationship. You know, it's not going to work out for you. And I think in a very similar way, like that's how we treat God. You know, or maybe like we're at a place where like we're coming every Sunday. And so it's like, oh, maybe like with this potential interest, you go to a weekly yoga class with them. And that's pretty cute. You know, like that's great. But like if you don't ever, if you're always constantly pushing off, like actually scheduling a date with that person, otherwise, again, not going to be a successful relationship. Right. So I think that's a lot of how we are operating. And so on the flip side of the same coin, 3B is also distraction and noise. And so I think we're very aware that there is an entire industry that has been built here whose entire job it is to steal our attention away from us, right? Like all the metrics in tech are just measuring like attention and engagement rates and everything, right? And so I think we're like all very aware that yes, this is a thing that is not great that I like spend so much time scrolling, right? But like, yeah, that's just the reality of our day and age now. Like there is so much distraction and noise that we're constantly surrounded by, right? And so if maybe like kind of actively we're like putting a lot of our time into like the busyness, right? But then even passively, like our passive time is also stolen away by like social media, all the things that we scroll, all the, you know, like, you know, distraction and noise that we have, that doesn't leave a lot of quality time for us to really like build in that relationship with God, right? And so I think this is definitely like a really huge barrier that we have to continuing our spiritual maturity. And then finally, is functioning solo. This is the last one. I think a lot of us, again, like, we're all doing our own thing sometimes, right? And this is not to say that you can't have an individual relationship with God. All of us need an individual relationship with God. But I think often we're trying to do it solo. And I think this is the last big barrier, is like, if the entirety of your spiritual life is only trying to like hack it on your own, it's not going to work out very well, because I think by nature we're designed to operate in community. And so the analogy I'll provide here is, imagine that you're trying to build a fire. Okay, there's basically two ways that you can do that. So the first way is you literally like get, you know, your stick, right? And you like rub it so hard and like so violently, right, that it literally produces like so much friction and heat that it like whatever like combusts into a flame, right? Like, that's the first way. And so like the analogy here is like, okay, well, yes, if we're using kind of like being on fire for God as like the kind of analogy here, it's like, yes, you could be put through so much pressure and like trial and tribulation and like all this stuff that like it, like the refiner's fire, right? It's like so much of that it like literally like there's so much friction in your life that it produces that kind of fire, right? Of like passion for Jesus. Or way number two to build a fire is just to like go to, I don't know, like a stove or like a campfire where there's like already a fire and just light your stick on fire, right? It's way easier. It's way easier. And so in the same way, like if you feel like you are at that place where like you're just like really struggling in your faith, in your relationship with God, one of the easiest ways to quote unquote like catch on fire, right, is just to put yourself around other people who are on fire. So much easier. And so I feel like this is actually like one of the final ways where it's like, yeah, if you're still in that place where you're really kind of functioning solo in your spiritual walk, that is going to be, I think, a big barrier to spiritual maturity. So yeah, that is the little framework that I came up with at 3 a.m. Thank you very much. Yes, thank you. But hopefully this is insightful, helpful. I think sometimes all that we need is just to name it, right? To like articulate, yes, I think that's where I'm at, right? Yes, those are the words I can put to why I feel like I haven't been progressing in my spiritual growth, right? And I think a lot of this at the end of the day is really about our relationship with God, right? I think a lot of the kind of church language around like doing, performing, like we don't want to be kind of a more performy church, right? I think a lot of it is just like, okay, when it really comes down to it, this is just about me relating to God. How can I make that a healthier thing?